thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Just wondering what to share with you a wee bit or two, and just to encourage a wee family here and the family in Zoom just this evening. I thought of Psalm 1 again. I was shared Psalm 1 there a couple of weeks ago over in a drive-in in Ballymena, and I was looking at a lot of cars, come on. But you're lovely people here compared to looking at a lot of motors. But you know, on the way over in the car, I'm going to share Psalm 1 a minute. We're talking about dogs, come on. And I want to tell you a wee story, a true story that happened to me a lot of years ago. And I was helping this lady out down in Tunbridge country, and her son had went away to work in a factory for a while, and she was left with a farm, basically, and I went and helped her for about 6 months. And I want, with your own mind, I want you to picture a really dark, dreary morning. 6:30, farmer's time. Come on. Some of you folk are not even waking at 6:30. But 6:30, and I was driving up the road, pitch black, into the milking parlour, got all the equipment ready, opened the door, no cows. This is the middle of the winter now. No cows. The storm had blew during the night and it blew some of the doors open, and all the cows was out, about 80 cows at the time, and they were everywhere. I have no idea where they were, and pitch black. Nobody up, and you couldn't see any the road cars. It was out down next to Loch Ness. And I thought, what am I for doing now? How do I even get neighbours up to try and find? Because from this particular farm, there's about 6 different roads. And they could be anywhere. They could be next to Huckle. They could be next to Tunbridge. They could be heading from Portland Owen. Or they could be down at the River Ban. I hadn't a clue where they were. And there's this wee dog called Lassie. Now, this wee dog wouldn't have won any prizes. This dog wasn't a pedigree. It was a wee mongrel of a dog. But this dog was a great wee cow dog or sheep dog. And I can see wee Lassie, I can see it in my mind as I'm standing up here, the tail going at mad. I says, Lassie, I started to talk to the dog. I says, Lassie, do you know where them cows are, Lassie? Do you know where they are? And the tail got quicker and quicker and quicker. And I just said to the dog, Lassie, go and get them. Go and bring them in, Lassie. And that wee dog went out of the milking parlour and out of that cubicle house at 100 miles an hour, out into the darkness. I had no idea whether it went left or right or forward next to him or next to Huckle or heading next to the Grange or heading next to the River Band. But anyway, about 20 minutes passed. It was the longest 20 minutes of my life. And then I could hear stampeding. I'm old enough to remember Rawhide. It used to be an old cowboy film. Some of you are laughing, you're as old as me. But anyway, Rawhide, a stampede was coming, and all these cows were coming from different directions, and I thought, I'll start the milking parlour up, and I'll start milking, and we'll see whether they're all in or not. And Lassie was at the very back door, just sitting, still smiling, and the wee tail going. Every single cow was brought in, you see. That was a faithful dog. That wee dog went out into the darkness and brought the cows home. And friends, as we meet here in fellowship, friends, that's exactly under the power of the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ that we've been singing about so wonderfully here this evening, that Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save the people for himself. And praise God, he saved many of you, not because of you or anything about your upbringing or anything else, all but the grace of God and the mercy of God, the day and hour that he shined his light in your heart, and he's now making you a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you know, I always love things in black and white. I'm sure you saw the black and white dog, and if you've seen a lot of stray cats at home, they're black and white as well. And the cows for 50 odd years, they were black and white too. And I just love things in black and white. And maybe that's why I love Psalm 1. You should never speak of anything that you don't really love. I mean, something that has really spoke to yourself personally. How can you share something to others if it hasn't affected you personally? And Psalm 1 is such a psalm to me personally. It awakened me up because right from Genesis to Revelation, there's two types of people in the world. And I love things in black and white. Things that's simple but of my own mind that I can study and I can ponder in my own heart, that I can meditate on it. And Psalm 1 is such a one. It's the very first psalm, and that's why God placed it at number 1. Because it gives us an editorial version of the whole Bible. It tells us about two types of people. And you've heard many a time about the broad road that most people are on and the narrow way and only a few will find it. You've heard about the sheep and the goats, and praise God there are many sheep in here. Two types of people. But in Psalm 1, it tells us about the godly people and the ungodly people in black and white. in black and white, my friends. And it starts off with saying, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. That means the word of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Friends, you can see it so plain. And for an uneducated person like me, I just love it in language that I can understand. And the Lord tells us here, through the power of the Holy Spirit, of these two types of people, the godly people and the ungodly. And it starts off with blessed. That means happiness, by the way. A happy person. A highly fortunate person. Blessed is a man. And just for the wee ones right away, I better share, that word man means man, woman, boy and girl, just in case anybody doesn't understand. Blessed is a man, woman, boy or girl that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That person has been a redeemed person. An absolute miracle has happened to that person. That person has been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Is being transformed. That's why that person is a happy person inside. Now, that doesn't mean to say you're not going to carry many a struggle and many a trial in life. But deep down inside, you're a happy person because you know you're under new management. You know that whatever you're going through has been ordained by God. He's allowed it to happen for whatever reason. Friends, there are many mysteries in the Bible. There's many mysteries in our own lives. Those mysteries will only be revealed maybe in eternity. Maybe we'll never know. But friends, it's great to know that God is sovereign in all things, isn't it? It's great to know that whatever happens to us tomorrow, tonight, whatever is in the will of God and under God's plan and his purposes. If you're his child, if you're a child of God, you're under new management. If you're a child of God, you've been born again by his Spirit. God is living inside you now by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're no longer sitting in the seat of the scornful. You know what it's like when you're in the workplace and people will maybe taking the Lord's name in vain, or there's something on TV and they're mocking God and they're mocking our God, and the shivers go down you. You think, unreal that. Because our God is not mocked now. Our God is not mocked. And anybody that mocks God, they're a day coming, my friends. But friends, my lovely people here and in those watching online, we're a separated people now. God, by his sovereign grace, has saved us for time and eternity. And that gives us an inner peace. That gives us a peace inside that we're no longer our own. We've been bought with a price. And that price was paid for us at the cross at Calvary. That's why we're a happy person inside. That's why you're a different complexion on us completely. Friends, it's lovely to be in a fellowship such as this, where you can see redeemed people. I was at a wee hall not that long ago, you know, and I kind of cried for a man. He's seeking God with all his heart, but he's dead, friends. He's dead. Every time I see him at some of these meetings, or praise God, he's coming. But he just looks dead. You just cry. But you can save nobody, but say, Lord, please help that man. Release him from the bondage of that deadness. Oh, blessed is the man. Maybe we never take it for granted, friends, what God has done for us and what God is doing for us. We may never take it for granted. That's why that person is a happy person. Oh, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the word of God, in which he meditates day and night, in other words. Shared with you this morning, God has given us the manual. And friends, we meditate on it. That's why there's always something new. You could speak in Psalm 1 from now 100 years' time, and there'll always be something different, isn't there? Because it's a living word. There's a living word. God magnifies it before our eyes. Maybe wee lines or your wee favourite verse or something. And you know, there's a great danger, I think, sometimes with young folk, and especially because some of the older folk would say, oh, you should be reading more of these books and this book. And I always remember an old preacher at one time, There's a great habit of people cleared out their closets or, oh, come and see my library. You know what I mean? You can come and see my library anytime you want. Now, it's, I've got 5 books now because I burnt an awful lot of them. But honestly, this man says, I was plagued with books. Everybody had a library. Oh, he'll take the books. And old Puritan books and really good theological books. But he says, the more I read the books, I discovered I was reading the word less. And his advice to me after a lifetime experience, he says, George, one Bible, this one, and maybe a good commentary, and just part the rest. Just part the rest. Let God reveal his word to you personally, and you'll grow in Christ looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And sometimes our young people can be feel guilty about it. They're not reading this latest, I'm going to say, religious book or whatever. Just hold on a minute here. I just say to the young folk, you're going to school, you learn. You come in fellowship here, you learn. Get the only book that really matters and ask God to reveal even one verse in the day to you. Just before you go out to your college or wherever in the morning, just one verse. Say, Lord, reveal one verse to me today that I might be a help to me in the situation that you already know what I'm going to be in by the time I get to 5 o'clock. Just one verse. And let Lord, and meditate. We meditate on his word day and night. And then again in Psalm 1, it tells us, I love this bit here because being a farmer and so on, it calls every Christian a tree. I love that now. You're not a whin bush or you're not a rush bush or you're not a bit of barley or a cabbage or something. It says you're a tree. I love that bit now because we have some really good solid trees around the Cady area. And many's a storm they've faced and many's a wiggling they've got, but they're still standing. And that's how God describes his people. And you shall be like a tree planted. Now, who's planted that tree? God has planted that tree. That tree didn't grow up naturally. That tree's been planted by Almighty God, my friends. And he's going to feed you beside the rivers of water. And everybody knows what that means. That out in the Middle East, I shared a wee story of that drive-in with a young girl from Australia. And they were flying in this plane and they're looking over barren landscape. Nothing. I mean, nothing. But desert each side. And they came to this bit, one row of trees, one sort of avenue of trees in the middle of nowhere. And somebody had said there was an underground river of some sort. Desert on each side, but the tree growing right down the middle. And friends, that's a picture of the world. That's a picture of you lovely people in here. You're a tree and most of your neighbours have no idea why you've come here. Why? Because they're in the desert. They're still in the desert and you're praying for them. Maybe your family, your prodigal sons and your daughters and your grandchildren, they're still in the desert. But you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Your leaf shall not wither and whatsoever you do shall prosper. Your leaf's not going to wither. It means you're an evergreen. We have a lot of evergreens around the garden. And if there's any landscape people here, I want to see you before you go home because they're out of control. I need them brought down about 6 or 7 feet. But they're evergreen. They look lovely in Christmas. Makes no difference because they're evergreen. And friends, that's how God describes you and me as children of God. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Your leaf shall not wither. And whatsoever you do shall prosper. There's another wee line here I must share with young people. In the middle of all that it says, and you shall bring forth his fruit in his season. I used to ponder about that a lot because I do quite a lot of youth rallies. I know it's on some of the older folk were saying, what's an old boy like you into a youth rally? But I love young people because young people are the real thing now. And they're facing hard times. And I think of Ecclesiastes, is it 12:1, it says, Remember now thy creator in the days of your youth. And how we get so much in our young years, don't we? And I thank God for myself and around the Cady area where we had faithful mission halls and faith mission or whatever, when we heard the word of God. And sometimes our young people can take it for granted now. And I remember saying to young folk, look, some of your peers is driving you too hard. They're expecting you to do too much. Oh, you should be doing this for the Lord and you should be doing that for the Lord. And I say, hold on a minute here. The Bible says that you will produce his fruit in his season. As I was 55, at least 55, maybe more, before anything began to happen. And many times I said, Lord, why all the wasted years and whatever. But that was God's timing. It's not man's timing. Or slightly more, maybe. Hard to imagine how old I am, you know. But you see what I mean? The Lord says, you will produce his fruit in his season. Young person, you listen to me. You will produce his fruit in his season. The fruit, of course, is the power of the Holy Spirit, of love, joy, peace, patience and kindness, gentleness. But you see, faith's a gradual thing. God will feed you. God will keep you. God will preserve you. God will give you that extra passion you need for something. And God's going to make it uncomfortable for you sometimes when your pastor tells you, would you like to come up and give a wee word of testimony or something? And your mouth is as dry as mine is at the minute. But you step out and you go on with it. Because you will produce his fruit in his season. Then verse 4 says, but the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. I saw a thing yesterday. I was taking my Uncle Andy out. Uncle Andy is about 86 now, and he's not that good in his legs, and I always try and something for him on a Saturday, take my wee run out. I want to see a thresher. Now, I brought a thresher in the box here now. Now, it's not one of these type. This is a Garvey thresher from Aberdeen. And I know when you come into Ballymoney area, and the older farmers are saying, what are you bringing a Garvey in here for? We had Boyd's threshers just up the road there. And I love the story of Boyd's, by the way. The Boyd's, was it Bundoran? Something like that it's called. It's a wee townland where Boyd's, some people know who I'm talking about. Boyd's were very famous for threshers around this part of the world. In fact, all over Ireland. And one day, the fella Boyd was thinking of this great invention of a new type of model of a thresher. And it belonged to Drumrea Church. And it was one of the elders in Drumrea that told me. And he said the man Boyd was sitting right in the middle, just some of you folk here, right in the middle, one Sunday morning. And he was pondering in his mind some trouble he had with this new part of a thresher he was making on the Saturday. And the minister was giving him hellfire and all the rest of it. And the wee man had closed his eyes a minute or two. And all of a sudden, this cog or whatever it was just came to him how he could fix it in this new Type 2 thresher. And he shouted out at the top of his voice, I see it! The minister was elated. And then he put his hand over his mouth like this. Sorry, neighbours. True story. But I went to see a thresher yesterday. It was a barn-type thresher. And I was lying in an old house, and we drove that old Freelander of mine down to get to it. A Freelander, it cost me £300, this one. Now, I had the £500 one this morning, but I went to the gold one. She was £300. I've two, by the way. One to keep in case one breaks down. I used the other one, you see. So I took my Uncle Andy down to this old shack of a place, and we saw a barn-type thresher. And this was driven by the horse. It was called the horsewalk. We still have a field in the farm, and we still call it the horsewalk field. And one or two people here knows what I'm talking about. And how the horse used to walk round and round and drive the thresher inside the barn. And this barn thresher made, Cain from Ballymena made it. And it's still intact. But I said to my uncle, he remembers it working. I said, where does the chaff goes? Where does the grain goes? Always says the chaff and the grain goes together down onto the floor. And you feed the thresher from one side and it batters a minute or two and the straw's kicked out, but the grain and the chaff goes together in a pile. That's where the word barn comes from. That's why you have a barn, you have two doors in it. And a real blowy day, you opened one door. Some of you folk are eating your breakfast cereals in the morning, you're learning something here this evening. Whenever you open one door, you open the other door. Whenever a good stormy day comes, the farmer stands and throws the grain and the chaff up into the air and the chaff blows out the door. The thresher nowadays, of course, is the modern combine, and the modern combine just scoots the whole thing out behind. Now, I have chaff with me. And honestly, the caretaker's nothing to worry about, because I'm going to go very, very gently with this chaff. But you see, friends, I just love things in black and white. I just love it in black and white. We've been talking about the godly people. You, I pray, every one of us. But then the ungodly are just like the chaff, which the wind bloweth away. And if I blew that there, I could blow it to the sound people, because there's nothing in the chaff. The good bit's been removed. The good wheat's been removed. The good oats, in this case, it's in your porridge in the morning. The chaff is what's left. And here God says, but the ungodly are just like the chaff, which the wind bloweth away. Nothing there. We're all born chaff. But praise God, many of you are now children of God. You're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You're no longer chaff. You're a child of the King, friends. And if you stay chaff, you'll die chaff. The Bible says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Oh, friends, are you not encouraged this evening to know that you're a child of the King? That you're that tree planted up with the rivers of water. That you're not chaff. You already know you once were chaff, and I was once chaffed. But you've been filled now by the power of the Holy Spirit. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus now. You've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ now. You're a tree planted, and God is feeding you, and God will keep you. And God, in his perfect timing, not in man's perfect timing, but in his perfect timing, will take you home to be with himself. Friends, that's what it is to be a child of God. That's what it is to be saved. That's what it is to be born again by his Spirit. That's what it is to have the most important thing we've been singing about there earlier, is your soul, the part of you that's never, ever, ever, ever going to not exist. Friends, isn't it incredible, this world of darkness at the minute and everything else, that I could say to you lovely people as children of God, even 1 million years from now, that we will still be somewhere. We know where we're going. We're going to heaven. But many of our neighbours and our friends, as a lost eternity, as chaff, 1 million years from now, they're still down. Can you grasp the magnitude of all this, George? No, I can't. But I know it's real. It's more real than I'm up here this evening. Because God says so, my friends. And if you're still chaff in here this evening, I pray with all my heart for that divine appointment that your pastor prayed for this morning. That still small voice, that voice that speaks not to your head, this country is full of head knowledge. Friends, it's only when it moves from here to here that's any use. This could be somebody's divine appointment or somebody watching. Not because of anything to do with us, but all because of Almighty God, friends. Come, Matthew 11:28. Come on, there again in black and white, our Lord just says, come. What a wonderful invitation. He says, come. Come on to me. Don't be getting sidetracked now. Just look at me. Look up at the wall there. Come. Come on to me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn. And learn of me. Oh, friend, what a saviour. What a mighty saviour we have. Oh, friends, is it good to meet here together in fellowship? And I want you to picture that tree when you fall asleep tonight. Say, Lord, help me, Lord. I've got a firm foundation. And that foundation is in you. And you have a plan and purpose for my life. And that plan and purpose will be fulfilled to the very letter. All because of him. All because of him. That's why the psalm starts at number one. Our Lord used the word blessed throughout the New Testament. Blessed are the meek. And so on. But friends, it's good to say, oh, blessed is the man, woman, boy, or girl that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's a miracle person. That person has been redeemed by the blood of Christ. If that doesn't make you happy, my friends, this evening inside, then you need an earthquake. But those still outside of Christ, my friends, remember what the Bible says. You're just chaffed. Praise God, we're living in that day of grace. Praise God, it's amazing grace, isn't it? That amazing grace that saves souls like you and me. I pray you'll remember the chaff, but keep on praying for your family and for your friends, that they may be also redeemed by God's divine appointments, by God's divine timings. What time of the day is it? One wee song, Mark, okay? You got to wind up there. Mark usually listened to it and for sharing, and then he would pick a wee song to sit just, and then we'll hand it over to you folk. Friends, in this harvest season, as we thank God for the harvest, we thank God for the physical harvest, isn't it mighty to know that we have a Saviour, that we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, that we can sing, that you, well, I can't sing, but you folk can sing. It's the only one that really matters, isn't it? And how most of the world today doesn't know him at all. They think you're mad coming in here. Why? Because they're in the desert. They're in the desert. Picture the Australia again, friends. They're in the desert. They're in the wilderness. But you're that tree, that lovely line of trees, fed by that underground spring. And you're never going to wither. And you're never going to blow down. You're not going to blow down. Because when God starts a work in a human being's life, he's going to finish it now. That's why you're anchored in the power of Christ. Your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.